The Old Testament reading for the Festival of Holy Trinity is written in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the Feast of Holy Trinity is based upon the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Thus far the text. Please be seated. God, in his infinite wisdom, created the holy seraphim with six wings. With two, they fly. The purpose of the other four is to cover up and to show their reverence. Even though they have been charged to serve in the smoky temple and sing God's threefold praise, even though they are holy, they still have things to cover. They still reveal their humility whilst before the very beauty of God's merciful presence. So they cover their feet and they cover their faces and sing a liturgy of praise for each person whom they worship. Holy, 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 Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They sing of what you confessed through the Athanasian Creed. They sing of the Catholic faith. The Trinity in unity, and the unity in Trinity. Not many are aware of it, but when you step into this sacred space where sacred things take place, when you step into a divine service of God toward you, you're stepping into our version of heaven, a holy liturgical worship which is supposed to depict what is always going on in heaven. And what goes on in heaven is the seraphim. It's represented through the seraphim, humbly covering, yet rejoicingly singing. And wherever the thrice holy name of God is mentioned within this depiction of ours, whenever this thrice holy name of God is mentioned, such as the Gloria Patri, or the final verse of a hymn that is Trinitarian, or whenever the three holies are sung out, such as in the Sanctus, in the sacrament of the altar, or in the Te Deum, or whenever you come to the rail or approach the rail to receive the Lord Almighty's very presence of body and blood that promises you and assures you the forgiveness of your sins, there is still a humble reverence that is revealed through such who do so. There is still a bowing that takes place at those times. Why? Because you have to? Because some of you are just trying to look good in God's eyes or earn his favor by trying to be more pious? No. It's because the practice of bowing at those various times in the Holy Liturgy simply remind you, and yet at the same time confesses to your neighbor, that you believe that this divine service of God toward you is a taste of heaven, which through humbled, repentant faith, no one even deserves. God Almighty does come to be present among you through his word and sacraments. How can that not generate repentance, humility, and reverence. Isaiah, who is shown through the scriptures, Isaiah could not abide in the presence of this majesty. He was only a man, and he was not holy. The Trinity was too much for him. He mourned for his sinful state, his lying lips, his fearful, unbelieving heart. The law of God is good and wise. Isaiah was not worthy to sing their holy liturgy or even to watch from afar. He was undone, damned, headed for destruction and without defense. His guilt was too great. His sin was too shameful. He had no wings, no fig leaves with which to cover up. There, in the very presence of the truth, he could not lie about who he really was. He could not fake it, like many try to get away with. Isaiah was exposed and vulnerable and undone. So why is it that you think that you can confidently approach the throne of God? Is it because you might think that you're not that bad of a person? Is it because you're simply uncatechized, meaning that you need more teaching? But then again, most don't really care to learn. Or you might think that you already know it all, or that you know enough. Or is it that because your flesh is inclined to make for yourselves a God of your own making, thinking that he doesn't really care all that much about repentance or humility or reverence? And friends, in Christ Jesus, by the grace of God, even though bowing is not commanded by God to get into heaven, repentance and humility is a part of God-given faith. It results from it. So by the grace of God, be repenting of your fleshly irreverence. It's in all of us. You may be inclined, according to your flesh, to think that reverence doesn't matter. But as Holy Scripture reveals the little that it does about heaven, it reveals that sooner or later, you will be brought to bow. Because then your self-centered, sinful flesh will no longer be a deterrent, and all knees will bow. Isaiah, in his sinful flesh, realized his condition, and it brought him to say, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." But then, after Isaiah's repentant faith is revealed through his humble confession of sin, after, at God's direction, one of the seraphim flew to the altar and picked up a burning coal, a remnant of the burnt offering, and placed its fire to Isaiah's lips. After Isaiah's repentant faith is revealed, his guilt is removed. His sin is forgiven. For he partook, that is, he passively received, had nothing to do with the seraphim going and getting it. It was just given after he was brought to confess. He passively received of that which was sacrificed in his place. It was put to his mouth and it made him clean. That sacrificial offering pointed to the sacrificial offering to end all sacrificial offerings. And Isaiah, believing himself to be unworthy, became worthy. That sacrifice was declared to be Isaiah's. For he, just as Abraham, believed in the Lord's gospel promise of a one-time sacrifice. And through faith, Isaiah too, just as Abraham, was accounted righteous. Through faith, Christ's fiery, pure, full atonement was imputed to Isaiah, so that he could sing with the heavenly throng, so that he could confess the Catholic faith. He too would then sing God's threefold praise, holy, holy, holy. For now he, like the seraphim, was and remains holy. The Almighty has declared it so. Isaiah calls the second person of the Trinity, the incarnate God of Moses and of Abraham, the only begotten of his father, from whom the Spirit proceeds. Isaiah calls him brother. Oh, how unsearchable are the judgments of God. He judges his perfect Son worthy of the price that justice demands. He places the burdens of all the evil that the world, sinful flesh, and the devil has dealt, genocide and slavery, half-truths and fleshly pride, bragging and cowardice, hurtful words on the playground, at the workplace, and in the home. All the evil in which men have engaged, all of your secret sins, all of your violence and your vanity, all of your greed, malice, drunkenness, and lust, all of the thoughts, words, and deeds with which he even brings you to repent of, he places all of it upon the Lamb. The Lamb who was born to be the sacrificial offering to end all sacrificial offerings. The Lamb who made satisfaction, full atonement for the sins of the whole world, winning man's redemption, securing forgiveness, life, and salvation for mankind in himself. The Father indeed lifted up Jesus from the earth on hellish sticks to cleanse men of the serpent's most deadly poisonous bite, the first heresy, the lie that God is not true, that God does not care, that you can be like him on your own. But look to where God drives you to stare. Look with eyes of faith to the agony of grace outside of Jerusalem. There the demons are cast out. There the snakes are driven away. For there, from there, proceeds the Spirit of peace who proclaims the Son. There, salvation is won for you, and through repentant faith in his fully atoning merits, the lips of men are made clean to sing back to God his one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. For whoever believes in him, the one lifted up in death and raised again to life, ascending to his Father's side, the one foreshadowed by the bronze serpent, the one that all burnt offerings were burnt to illustrate, the one who received the seraphim's praise and sent Isaiah to foretell of the virgin birth. Whoever believes in him and the fully atoning merits promised through him will never perish. They have eternal life. Whoever promises the Lord, whoever, no matter how bad, how despicable, how wrong or mean or foolish or lazy or negligent or resentful or lonely, whoever is brought to believe in Jesus Christ, whoever is brought to trust in his merits alone, whoever is brought to repent and look to Christ, true God and true man, crucified and raised, whoever is brought to repent and believe in Christ and what he has merited, despite their past crimes and even their future, they're forgiven. And peace is delivered. True comfort, hope, and joy, and life come from the one who comes to you. Jesus Christ was lifted up and sacrificed for the sins of the whole world. That is how God loved the whole world. That is how God has loved you. He gave his only begotten over to death, over to the death that you should have died. He got death over with. He declared the innocent one guilty so that through faith alone he could declare you. And through faith alone, he does declare you innocent and righteous. He has had mercy upon you, and his mercy endureth forever. He did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save it and to save you. He saves not because of works righteousness, which you have done, but according to his mercy. God shows his love in this, that while you were still sinners, he sent his Son. His word, God's living and active word, creates and sustains faith. Faith is not by choice. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's doing. Faith is beyond your reason. It's why Jesus says to Nicodemus, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Answer, you can't. It's a matter of God-created faith. Flesh gives birth to flesh. The Spirit gives birth to spirit. God's word, which is spirit and life, creates faith and gives those brought to believe eyes of faith. As Luther penned in his great confessional catechism, his catechism hymn, based on the sacrament of holy baptism, of which Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus about, in the final verse of that hymn by Luther, he has all lifelong repenting and believing catechumens confess this through hymnody. All that the mortal eye beholds in baptism is water as we pour it. Before the eye of faith unfolds the power of Jesus' merit. For here it sees the crimson flood to all our ills bring healing, the wonders of his precious blood, the love of God revealing, assuring his own pardon. Holy baptism promises this assured forgiveness, as does holy absolution and God's word as it is read in your homes and proclaimed here. And today, a servant of God's word, without wings, at God's direction, will take from this altar the sacrificed and risen Lord and place his purifying fire pure to your lips. And as repentant faith worthily receives what is there, Christ's body and blood in, with, and under the bread and the wine, you will continue to live by a righteousness that is not your own, but Christ's righteousness declared upon you through faith. You will continue to be made clean, kept clean, forgiven of your sins through faith in the one who is forgiveness. In him is where you live, and he in you. Like Isaiah and Nicodemus, through faith you are holy. Like them, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the incarnate God of Moses and of Abraham, the only begotten of his Father from whom the Spirit does proceed, you can call him brother. You have been spared. You have been named by him. You belong to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you have been born from above through water and the Word by the intervention of love. And so through that ongoing love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you shall be sustained. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.